They have more energy than anybody. Turn with me to John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10, we're going to start reading at verse 11. As we continue the I Am series, a couple weeks ago we looked at the first part of this chapter, which talked about I am the gate. Now we're going to look at another I am saying in there, starting at verse 11 through verse 21. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word, and we thank you that you teach us many things in the Bible about how to live in this world in which we live today. We thank you that as we study the Bible, Lord, we can get to know you better and learn more about you and how you love us and take care of us each day and provide for us, O Lord. We thank you that you give us your word and help us to know, O Lord, that even as we face challenges in life, you are there walking with us through each and every journey in life. And so we ask, O Holy Spirit, this morning that you would illumine our hearts, that you would just anoint us with your Spirit as we listen, as I speak, O God, today, that you will be glorified in the words that are heard and the words that are spoken. For we come here to honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I read a story about a shepherd who was looking after a sheep one day on the side of a deserted road, and when suddenly a brand new Porsche screeches to a halt. So the driver, a man dressed in an Armani suit, a Cerruti shoes, Ray-Ban sunglasses, and Rolex wristwatch, a Pierre Cardin tie, gets out and asks the shepherd, he says, if I can tell you how many sheep you have, will you give me one of them? So the shepherd looks at the young man and then looks at the large flock of grazing sheep and replies, okay, you can do that. So the young man parks the car, connects his laptop to his mobile, enters the NASA Webster, scans the ground using his GPS, opens a database with 60 Excel tables filled with logarithms and pivot tables, and then prints out a 150-page report on his high-tech mini printer. He turns to the shepherd and says, you have exactly 1,586 sheep here. Rather surprised, the shepherd replies, that's correct. You can have your sheep. So the young man takes an animal and puts it in the back of his Porsche. And just as the man is about to drive off, the shepherd asks him, if I guess your profession, will you return return my animal to me? The man answers, yes, why not? Shepherd says, you are an IT consultant. How did you know? Asks the young man. Very simple, answers the shepherd. Firstly, you came here without being called. Secondly, you charged me a fee to tell me something I already knew. And thirdly, you don't understand anything about my business. Now, please, can I have my dog back? You gotta know your animals. So this passage in John chapter 10 is a continuation of what we looked at a few weeks ago when Jesus said, I am the gate, talks about the sheep and the shepherds. And it's a contrast between the good and the bad, the good and the bad shepherds, the faithful and the unfaithful shepherds, the false shepherds and the true shepherds. And the words that Jesus used here to describe himself were words that the Old Testament prophets had so often used to describe God. And you notice in this chapter, as you read through this, that the Pharisees could not accept Jesus' claim to that role, and that's why they reacted so negatively and sought whatever way they could to stone him. And so this morning, as we talk about this saying of Jesus, I am the good shepherd, here in John 10, I want to focus on three characteristics of the good shepherd. Probably a lot of characteristics we could look at, but three of them that I want to highlight this morning. And I think a lot of these characteristics that we highlight, we talk about, are also characteristics that we find in honorable mothers, in good, honorable mothers. First of all, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus said in John 11, I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So he adds that remarkable element, which is not normally part of the shepherd's task. As the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. As the good shepherd, he lays down his life for you and for me. So Jesus is telling us that he was willing to lay down his life for us, his sheep. He wasn't in it for the money. He wasn't in it for the glory. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says that Jesus gave up his glory. He emptied himself of his high position with the Father and emptied himself of that position to become like us, except without sin, to take our place here on this earth. Jesus would not run when trouble came as the good shepherd. He was willing to lay down his life so that to sacrifice his life for you and for me so that we might gain favor with the Father in heaven. He cared enough about us that he willingly chose to struggle and to die a horrific death on the cross of Calvary that we are reminded of in the Gospels, so that we might have life, life with the Father and life forever in eternity. And so as the good shepherd, God sent Jesus into the world to save the world from sin. He sacrificed himself as the Lamb of God. And now once we accept Jesus as our Savior, once we have that personal relationship with Jesus, once we believe in Jesus as our Savior, God accepts us as his children. The Father now accepts you and me because we are clothed with the Lamb's robes of righteousness, with the blood that he poured out on Calvary's cross. That's how he describes himself. I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Contrast that with the hired hand, who is only in it for the money. He doesn't care, says Jesus. And that's what happens when those who are in it for personal gain and convenience meet up with difficulty and challenges in life. They run in the face of danger, and then the sheep are vulnerable to attack. They are in it for themselves only, says Jesus. The good shepherd will do anything for his sheep at all costs to save them. He will put his life on the line for his sheep. And he did just that by giving his life on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. During Hurricane Sandy, many people lost their lives, but the death toll was not quite as high as it could have been, thanks in part to a NYPD officer by the name of Archer Kasperzak. When floodwaters hit, Kasperzak quickly carried six adults as well as his young nephew into the attic of his home. Realizing that his father wasn't among the people he had just rescued, Kasperzak once again returned to the lower floor of his house. And unbeknownst to the young NYPD officer, his father had already reached safety. Kasperzak was found dead a few hours later. A true example of someone willing to lay down his life for others. Jesus, our good shepherd, willingly laid down his life so that we might live because he loves us and we belong to him. He is our shepherd and we are the sheep of his flock. A second characteristic of a good shepherd is that a good shepherd knows his sheep. Knows his sheep by name. Verse 3 says, the watchman opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. Verse 14 also. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The ultimate measure of a good shepherd is how well he knows his sheep. It's like saying the measure of a good artist or a good teacher or a good musician or a good tech engineer or a good administrator or whatever is the extent to which he or she knows the material, the product, or the people they work with. Philip Keller, who was a shepherd, wrote a book entitled A Shepherd Looks at the Good Shepherd and His Sheep. And in that book he says, this knowing that John 10 verse 14 talks about, this knowing implies much more than just mere acquaintance or contact with sheep. It means the shepherd is so familiar with his sheep, has handled them so much that he knows their every trait, habit, and characteristic. He can predict their behavior under any given set of circumstances. He understands all their peculiarities. He is never surprised or taken back by their unusual idiosyncrasies. Keller says he is at ease with them, comfortable in their company, delighting in their management. So I think about what he said there. I think about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He knows us in that same way. Just like a shepherd gets to know his flock over many years and over many generations. Think about it. Jesus, the risen Son of God, the Good Shepherd, knows you. He knows me. He knows your name. He knows you personally. He knows you intimately. He knows your thoughts. He knows your will. He knows your mind. He knows your emotions, he knows your strengths, he knows your flaws. He knows your heart. He knows what's best for you. And so we are called to trust him every day as the good shepherd. Because the shepherd owns the sheep. He gave his life for us, so he owns us. We are his, and he knows his sheep. You know, we in the Western world are so skilled at living behind a false facade. We like to wear masks and live under the assumption that people really don't know us and care about us. All the while trying to pretend who we are not, we live in this shell, we have this mask around us, we live in this shell of not really wanting people to know who we really are inside, so often shattered and broken and hurting. And against that kind of false identity and background, God steps onto the stage and he states dramatically in this passage of Scripture, he says, I am the good shepherd and I know you. I understand you. I have known you right from the very beginning of time, from the moment of your conception and before. And because I know you, I care about you, says Jesus. Knowing someone means you will also know their needs and care for them, just like mothers do. You know, I had a great mom. She was a mother of 11 children. And just a tiny little lady, 4'10", 4'11", if you can believe it. And she cared for us. She had a lot, she was very busy, a very busy mom, but she cared for us. And so she knew what our needs were, and she would care for us. And so I hope you can say that about your mother, and I believe that's a characteristic we find in honorable mothers. Characteristic that's found in the Good Shepherd. Quality of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, kind of go hand in hand. Knowing is caring. Knowing equals caring. Look at verse 13, where Jesus says the hireling cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 13, he says, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The Good Shepherd cares for each and every one of them. He even cares for the other sheep, just like Sammy did in the story. Cared for his friend, right? God cares for the other sheep also. Look at verse 16, where he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. What he's referring to here is the Gentiles, right? He was talking to the Jews, the Jewish Christians. He's also talking about the Gentiles. I have other sheep also, he says. I care for them. The truest and most profound statement that we can make about God is that lost people matter to God. And because lost people matter to God, lost people must matter to us. God's heart is broken when God sees people, the people he loves, living their lives without him. Jesus came to save them all, Jews and Gentiles alike. So I care for those other sheep also, just like Sammy cared for his friend. And as I think about the caring characteristics of a good shepherd, I am reminded of the psalmist in Psalm 23, part of the story I read to these kids. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Bible says there, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep need, they graze, and they can graze and graze all day. They like to feed, they just eat and eat. And so they're physically walking all the time, and so they need times of rest. So sheep are often like a little child who thinks he never gets tired, right? And so the shepherd makes them lie down. And sometimes I think God does that to us too. He may use events or circumstances in our life to slow us down from the hectic pace of life and help us to take a break from that pace of life, to refresh us and to rebuild us, to restore us, to make us lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep need water for strength and health. And did you know that sheep are afraid of running water? They're afraid of running water because they can't swim. And so they will only drink from quiet pools of water. Maybe you are here this morning and you're thirsting for God. You're thirsting for something. You are thirsting for God. Drink from the river of life that he offers and quench your thirst. The psalmist says, he refreshes, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Sheep tend to stray and wander, sometimes dangerously, and some of them become weak. They need restoration. They need to be led back to the right path. And as God's people, as his sheep, we tend to do the same. We stray and wander from the path of righteousness. The temptations of the world lure us in the opposite direction. Sometimes we go down the wrong path in life. And because God, as our shepherd, loves us and cares about us as a shepherd, he doesn't leave us there on that wrong path. But he picks us up and he takes us by the hand to lead us back onto that right path of righteousness through the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. The cost of following Jesus, the Bible says, is self-denial, taking up our cross, and following him. Being a follower of Jesus means I am willing to follow him as my good shepherd and trust him wherever he will lead me. And so as the shepherd cares for his sheep, the sheep also get to know the shepherd better. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And as Jesus, the good shepherd, cares for us, his sheep, we get to know him better by following his lead also. In verse 27, later on in the chapter, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And so whenever my faith is tested and I am tempted to complain, which sometimes we tend to do, right? Complain about the way things are in life. Then I remind myself that there are no insurmountable problems or challenges for my shepherd. He is higher than me. He can see further into the distance than I can. He knows what's ahead for me and what's ahead for you. I am his. He owns me. You are his. He owns you. And therefore, we can trust him with all our heart because he is our good shepherd. And he knows us. Another characteristic of a good shepherd is that a good shepherd protects his sheep. And really, that's what moms do, right? A good mom, if they're honorable mothers, they will do whatever they can to protect their children. A good shepherd protects his sheep from the wolves. We think of the story of David in 1 Samuel 17 where he says, you know, I killed a lion and a wolf and as they came to attack the sheep, you know. Notice what Jesus says here. The hired hand sees the wolf coming and runs and lets the wolf attack the sheep. Contrast that to the good shepherd. The good shepherd. The good shepherd protects us from the enemy, clothing us with the spiritual armor described in Ephesians chapter 6. As we are clothed with the spiritual armor, we're protected from the enemy. 1 Peter 5 says that Satan prowls around seeking whomever he may devour. And so God clothes us with the spiritual armor to protect us from the enemy. When we are not under the protecting arms of the Good Shepherd, we are vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And there's two ways in which we become vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. Two ways in which we become vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. First of all, not being in the fold, not having a personal relationship with Jesus, not knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. And so God, if that describes you this morning, God's challenge to you is walk through the gate. Walk through the gate. Contrary to popular opinion these days, there are not many roads that lead to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Come back next week. I'll talk more about that. He is the gate, the door to the sheep pen. Accept him as your Savior, and you will be protected forever by the Good Shepherd. Another way in which we become vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy is when we wander from the fold, when sheep wander from the fold, when we wander from the fold of God by not listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd, when we become disobedient to the Lord, when we live in sin. And if that describes you or me this morning, then we must come before God, confess and repent of those sins, and come back into the fold where Jesus promises he will protect us forever. And finally, the Good Shepherd protects us by keeping us eternally secure. Later on in the chapter, verse 28 and 29, he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So in conclusion, let me just say this. I want to go back to the Pharisees in this chapter. Even after all the explanations of who he was in chapter 10, they still rejected him. Only two people from among this angry mob responded to his invitation that day. In chapter 8, where the story starts, the young woman caught in adultery. And then in chapter 9, the young man born blind. Both of them had felt the touch of Jesus' hand in their lives. Both of them turned to Jesus for restoration. Both experienced new joy through Jesus' forgiveness. They were remade in the shepherd's care. And that same choice still confronts all mankind today. The same choice still confronts men and women, young people and children of every nation and every tribe and every race and every language today. The same choice still confronts you and me today. However, sadly, like the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, the majority of the people in this world still reject the Good Shepherd and will have nothing to do with him. Yet to those of us who hear his voice and respond to his call and come under his care and follow him as the Good Shepherd, his commitments come true. They find life. We find life. We find eternal life. We find overflowing life. We find fulfilling life. And we find it in rich measure, because it is life in Christ and Christ in us, the Good Shepherd. That, my friends, is the promise of the Good Shepherd.